Why don't you go ahead and grab your Bibles and join me in Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 25. We are continuing our sermon series this morning called Incomparable. It's a study of the parables of Jesus Christ. And during the last several weeks, we've been looking at some of the most famous, some of the most well-known, some of the most beloved parables of our Lord. And today, Matthew 25, we're going to be looking at the parable of the talents. And so you're going to find that Matthew 25, verse 14 through 30. And while you're turning there, I just want to remind you guys, you heard the announcement. Pastor Scott shared it with you. Tonight we're wrapping up our doctrinal series at the garage and sharing some important details about the upcoming retreat. And so make sure you join us. We're going to be talking about the accommodations, what you can expect at the men's retreat, March 2-3-4. It's going to be a great time. Join us at 9 p.m. You'll be glad that you did. And before I begin reading our passage this morning, why don't we just pause? Can we do that? Can we pray? Let's commit our time to the Lord now. If you don't mind, let's just bow our heads. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this morning, for this day that you've made. Lord, thank you for allowing us to get up out of our beds, to come here, to gather with the church, the body of Christ, your bride, your beloved Jesus, the opportunity we had to worship you and to lift up high your name and to adore you and to give you all glory and honor and praise. Lord, it's a privilege. And thank you, God, that we could share in that joy this morning. God, as we turn now to the study and to the preaching of your word, I pray that our hearts could receive truth this morning. Lord, that you would speak to us through your word, that we could have a real encounter with you this morning, that you could be glorified in this time. We pray in Jesus' good name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. So you probably received a bulletin when you came in this morning. You'll notice if you did that the big idea this morning is this: I'm accountable, you're accountable, we're accountable for what we've been given because God takes stewardship seriously. And let me say this, it's a common thinking. A lot of people think this, maybe you've thought this, but the world in which we live, the West, United States of America, 2018, we're taught that when you work, you save up your money. When you buy something, that you are an owner. Everyone thinks that. We're all taught that. But according to the Bible, everything that we have has been given to us by God. And so what does that mean? It means that we are managers entrusted with the task of management. And so we are, in the stewardship sense, not owners. We are, in all reality, we are stewards. And so this morning's passage makes that so clear. And so here's what we're going to find out. We're going to find out that each of us have been given a trust by God. You have, I have, each of us have been given a trust from God, regardless of your age, regardless of your career, wherever you find yourself this morning. Each of us have been given a great trust. Not only does our management as stewards include the management of money, but it also includes time, also the management of opportunities, ability, and to squander this is a grievous thing. Passage is amazing. And so notice there, my very first point this morning is this, verse 14 and following. We all have been entrusted with something. All right, you have and I have. Notice here, verse 14, Matthew 25, for it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them, do you see it? His property. Go ahead and pause there. Real quick, by way of context, if you were to go back to verse 13, just one verse up, it says this: watch therefore, for you neither know the day nor the hour. And so maybe you're wondering, well, what is Jesus talking about here? If you're familiar with Matthew's gospel, if you're to look at chapter 24, chapter 25, both chapters devote the content there. The subject matter is the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus is talking about in verse 13. How does Jesus prepare his followers for his return? By parables. Chapter 25, Jesus gives some, I'm telling you, read it this week if you'd like. Jesus gives some solemn warnings about these last days. And so keep in mind as we kind of now enter into our passage, the context is Jesus' second coming. He's coming back. Jesus is now teaching how his disciples are to prepare for his return. And so once again there, verse 14, for it's going to be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. And in case you didn't know this, travel in biblical times, not easy, not all that common. For those that would travel in those days, when you did travel, you could be gone for months, you could be gone for a year, you could be gone for years. Travel wasn't like travel is for us today, a long time. And so in preparation for the journey, this man calls his servants to do business for him while he's gone. And so the master would entrust his servants with a certain amount of goods so that they could bring back a return on their investment when he gets back. Does that make sense? You guys got it? That's the context. That's what's happening. That's what's going on here now in verse 14. Notice there, verse 15. What did the master give to his servants? Well, it says there, verse 15, to one he gave, what did he give him? 5 talents. To another, 2. To another, 1. To each according to his ability. And then he went away. Now maybe you're wondering, what's a talent? Did he give them the skill of juggling? Is that what he did? What does he mean by talent? Yeah, that would have been cool, but that's not what he gave them. Talent in the parable is actually referring to a weight, often weight of gold, often weight of silver, something like that. And so the man's going away. He gives them a certain amount of talent, money. The idea was to take this, invest it, and to get a return on it. Take your money, make money. That's kind of the idea. And so how much is a talent worth, you ask? It's roughly the equivalent, if you were a typical wage earner, get this, a single talent would take you about 20 years to earn. All right, it's a massive amount of money. And so in our day and age, if you make, let's say you make $15 an hour and you work 50 weeks in a year, you're going to make roughly, that's 2,000 hours, you're roughly going to make about $30,000, all right? And so get this, a talent would be equal to roughly $600,000, all right? It's an enormous amount of money, massive amount of money. And its significant responsibility then would be to take care of this and kind of improve it and to make money on that. If you were given 5 talents times $600,000, how much money have you been entrusted with? $3 million. The man given 2 talents is given roughly the equivalent of how much? $1.2 million. And the one given 1 talent, roughly 600 grand. And so keep in mind, the point of the parable is not, don't get lost in the numbers, accountants. Don't take out your calculator. Don't get lost in the monetary value. The point of the parable is what they did with the talent. That's the point. You with me? You with me? Don't get hung up on the dollar amount. Get hung up on what they did with it. And I notice there at the end of verse 15, this is really the key to the whole thing. You guys see it there? End of verse 15. The master gave every man, you guys see it? You guys see it? According to his ability. Each man's ability was that which determined what he received. And so a couple of the servants, they have a greater capacity to handle the large amounts than the one guy. And certainly that's the case for us here this morning. That's the way that it was. And so the master apportioned out, one got 5, one got 2, one got 1. And so let me just kind of clarify the variables real quick. Do you guys know who in the parable the master is? Who's the master going away? Jesus, right? It's Jesus. Remember, the context is the second coming. And so now he's going away. The master is Jesus. That's kind of the variables here. in the parable, and we are the servants or the stewards who are given the management, and we have been given various talents, i.e. gifts, abilities, opportunities. Don't just think money. We're given gifts, opportunities, abilities, and that is what we are to use for working out and serving God in the meantime until he comes back. All right? That's what's going on here. Those are the variables. And so what does that mean for us here this morning? That means that not all of us have been given the same trust. Some of you are taught you're the apple of your mommy's eye, and so you are special. You're going to be something. You're a cut above the rest. You're in a category all onto your own. But then you grow up and you realize, I don't know that that's true. And you may be special to your mom, but not everybody is the same, regardless of what you were told growing up. Not everybody's the same. It doesn't matter what your elementary school teacher said, all right? Not everyone's going to be an astronaut. Not everyone's going to be an engineer. Not everyone's going to be a professional athlete. True? We're not all the same. Everybody was created equal before God, but we all have been made differently. Just think about it. Differing mental capacities, differing verbal capacities, different skills, different talents, different abilities. To top all of that, God in his providence has exposed us to different opportunities and situations in life to prepare us. Right? The way that it is. Different privileges, different teachers, different opportunities, different discipling processes. Why is that, Jason? Jesus says he does it according to our ability. It's according to our ability. And so now some of you are wondering, well, Jason, am I a 5 or am I a 1? Or maybe a 2? Like, which one am I? I don't know. I'm not pointing fingers. I'm not evaluating any of that. That's really up to the Lord, isn't it? All of us are different, and that's by God's design, and that's okay if you're a 1. And it's okay if you're a 2, and it's okay if you're a 5. God designed it that way. The question is, as a 1, 2, or a 5, what are you doing with it? That's really the question. That's the question before us this morning. What are you doing with it? And so, to clarify, verse 15, all right, kind of setting this all up. Verse 15 is like a picture of spiritual capacity. It's a picture of spiritual privilege. It's a picture of spiritual responsibility. It's a picture of spiritual opportunity. The issue is, what do you do with those opportunities? You with me? And that's really the question for each of us here this morning. Once again, my first point is, we all have been entrusted with something. And so now this is where we look into the mirror of God's word and we ask ourselves, okay, so what have I been entrusted with? That's the question. And let me just say this, for those of us that have had the privilege of being born in this country, if you've had the privilege of being raised in this country, if you have the privilege of growing up in a Christian family or attending a Bible-teaching church, if this is your church family, do you realize the great trust and privilege that you have been given by God? Just with those simple variables right there, just think about it. There are baby Christians all over the city. There are baby Christians all over our state, all over our country, all over this world who know very little about God and his word. And yet you've been given the opportunity and the advantage to be here. It's a great trust. Think about it. Every single Sunday you have it's a privilege. It's a privilege. Every single Sunday you have the opportunity to hear God's word preached. And it's not like it's just a topical message and you kind of downloaded it from sermons.com or something. I mean, it's expositional preaching. That's fantastic to learn God's word that way. That's a privilege. That's a great blessing to hear solid, robust, theologically sound messages proclaimed, training up God's people to follow hard after the Lord. Praise the Lord. In addition, you're part of a church family. Think about it. This church family, we're young. A year and change old. But already God is doing a great work in our midst. So many love the Lord Jesus Christ here. So many walking with Christ in community. A massive percentage of us are involved in life transforming small groups. The privilege, discipling, being made mature in Christ. It's a blessing. It's a massive blessing. Do you realize what God has given you? If you've been born in this country, if you've been raised in this country, and just by simply plugging into a life-giving church like this, what a blessing. There are some Christians that are the only Christian in their family. Maybe that's your story. Maybe the only Christian in your family. Some of you have only Christians in your family, it seems. Some Christians are the only Christian in their community. Think about that. Some Christians are put in jail because of their faith right now. Yet God has placed you in a church where God's Spirit is at work. And to whom much is given, much is required. Amen? That wasn't a very hearty amen. Can we do it again? To whom much is given, much is required. Amen? I'm telling you, much is required. We've been given so much by the Lord. He's so good. Back to the text. What happens next? What happens next? Well, it says at the very end of verse 15, then he went away. That's the master. That's our Lord. Now check out verse 16. Here's my second point, by the way. We all have a job to do. We all got a job to do. How'd the first guy do? Well, notice there, verse 16. He who had received the 5 talents... This is so telling. I hope you're watching this. He would receive 5 talents, went away at once. At once he went away and traded with them and made 5 talents more. He went away at once. Maybe your Bible translation says immediately he went. Immediately he goes away and he trades and he makes 5 more talents. How long did it take him to get motivated? It's immediately. Immediately he went. He went at once. And he actually makes 5 more talents. The point is he doubled his master's money. In other words, he made the most of his spiritual opportunity. He was faithful. What about the second guy? How did he do? Verse 17. So also like the first guy, so also, in other words, immediately, he who had 2 talents went and made 2 talents more. Jesus said this guy made the most of his opportunity too. Both of them doubled. Both the first guy and the second guy doubled the return of the talents the master gave them. My second point is we all have a job to do. In other words, be faithful, be fruitful, maximize your opportunity, whatever it is. How about the third guy? Notice there verse 18. But he who had received the 1 talent... went and dug it in the ground and hid his master's money. And so the original audience, maybe you're like this as well, the response is like, gasp! why would he do that? He just hid it? Why did he dig a hole? Why would he do that? Why did this guy do absolutely, he did nothing with it. Why? Why would he do that? In other words, he failed. He blew it. He dropped the ball. I wrote this down. Even when you have only one, you got to be responsible for the one. Amen? Even if you got one, you got to be responsible with one. We all have a job to do. Let me tell you about a woman. Gretel and I never had the chance of meeting her. Maybe you've heard of her. She's such a great example to follow. We never had the privilege of meeting her, but Gretel and I lived in Los Angeles for several years, went to seminary there, and we heard about a woman named Henrietta Mears. Maybe some of you have perhaps even met her. Henrietta was a woman who made the most of her God-given talent, all right? Such an amazing lady. Small town girl from where I grew up in Minnesota. And after college, she moved to the bright white lights of Hollywood, California. And that's where Gretel and I heard of Henrietta. She moved from Minnesota to Los Angeles, Hollywood area, if you know L.A., and she gets involved in a church, and the children's ministry, it's actually a pretty good size. It's like 400 children attending this children's ministry, which is pretty good. And she's involved in this church, and she's serving there. And get this, within 2 years of her arrival in Southern California, the children's ministry at the church under her leadership, it didn't double. It didn't triple. It went from 400 kids, get this, to over 4,000 children in 2 years. 10 times increase over that which she was entrusted with. The best part, a lot of these children now grow up. Through her life, countless lives were touched through this faithful woman. Many young men, including Bill Bright, who later founded Campus Crusade, and Billy Graham, who preached around the world, were challenged directly by Miss Mears to follow God wholeheartedly. One life committed to the Lord equals generations impacted. What's my point? Henrietta saw the opportunity and she sees it for God's glory. She was faithful. What about you? What about me? What about us? The point of verse 16, 17, and 18 is that we all have a job to do. You got a job, and I got a job. We all have a job to do. We've been given responsibility. Each of you have been given talents by God that He is going to hold you responsible for. And so once again, the big idea this morning is I'm accountable. You're accountable for what we've been given because God takes stewardship seriously. What kind of steward do you want to be? Today you must decide. The ball's in your court. What are you going to do? So far we've seen that we've all been entrusted with something. So far we've seen that we all have a job to do. Next we're going to see, here's my third point, last point, verse 19 and following. We all have an account to give that bears eternal consequence. Verse 19. Now after a long time, the master of those servants, he comes back. All right, once again, context, chapter 24, chapter 25, the second coming of Christ, he's going to return. And so after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And so once again, you guys know the context. As if Jesus, his return could be right now. It could be just like that. It could be right now. All right, we don't know when. There's some indicators, right, that God gives us in His Word. It says after a long time. I mean, it's been quite a while. I mean, it's a couple thousand years. It could be any time. All right? And I notice the response of the first servant. Verse 20 tells us what happened. Verse 20. And he would receive 5 talents, came forward, bringing the 5 talents, saying, Master, you have delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 more. And there's no boasting here. It's not prideful that he's saying. He's just communicating the facts. He's like, man, I worked really hard. I did my best. Look what I accomplished. And when I read that, I think of, it's almost like the joy in a child's face. When they come home and they tell mom and dad, you know, I've been working. You guys know that I have. And I made the honor roll this quarter. I'm so proud. Aren't you proud? I mean, it's sort of like that. All right, it's sort of like that. And so as we consider the stewardship of opportunity, just think about the opportunity that we have here. Right? You've heard Pastor Scott share this. His vision for us as a church is that we could be a church that plants churches. That's who we're striving to be. And so right now, praise the Lord through your generosity and faithfulness. We're in process of building, getting the plans, working on those plans, building a church in the Hamlin area. Like, praise the Lord. That is unbelievable. Awesome. Great start. I can't wait. Is that the end? No, that's not the end. Like, what's next? Lord willing, more churches. We want to be a church that plants churches. Where? Lord knows next. Pastor Scott has shared, wouldn't it be great to plant some along the I-4 corridor? Lord knows, who knows? Here at Harvest, though, our posture is to maximize every perceivable opportunity. That's Pastor Scott's heart. That's my heart. I trust that that's your heart as well. Why? Because we want to be faithful in the meantime until the Lord, He returns. All right? And so this is who we are striving to be as a church. To be found fruitful, to be found faithful. God help us, would we be both? Amen? Could we be like this first servant? Now notice the response of the master. Verse 21, what is he going to say? His master said to him, well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. I love that. I love that so much. I pray that each of us would hear those words one day. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Breathe that in. Breathe it in. Take hold of that prayer. Take hold of that promise. Would we be found faithful? It's remarkable, isn't it, that the God of the universe, the Lord whom we love, the Lord whom we serve, could one day say to us, well done. Well done. You're fruitful. You're faithful. I want to hear those words one day, don't you? I can remember, it was probably a year ago, right now, Pastor Scott and Carla were sharing with Gretel and I. Robert and Nicole were there, and Amir and Jacqueline were there, and just really sharing all that was in their heart for this church. I mean, it's growing. Do you guys see that? God is at work in our midst. It's so exciting what he's doing. He's building his church, and he's doing it right before our eyes. And a year ago at this time, and having them just share their heart and their vision and all that God is placed within them, I'm telling you, it's within the DNA of Harvest Bible Chapel Winter Garden that this church would work hard, that we would be faithful, that we could be obedient, and that we could celebrate all that God will do. And that one day we together could sit on the proverbial porch and sit back and just marvel and say, look at what the Lord has done. All right? We can have that joy, loved ones, if we are found faithful. If we are found faithful. Oh Lord, would it be said of us, every one of us, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. I love that. Now what about the second servant? How did he do? Verse 22. And he also, who had the two talents, came forward saying, Master, you delivered to me two talents. Here I have made two more. What does the master say? Verse 23. His master said to him, cut and paste. That's what he says. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Two identical statements of praise. Both stewards show that it's not how much you earned, that it's how much faithfulness you demonstrate in using your gifts, your potential, your opportunity, and your ability. Extraordinary. And so when I look around the room, I see these kind of men and women, so many of you, I can't even count. So many of you are so faithful. Praise the Lord, I can't even count. I think of Sunday mornings. So many of you are here very early, setting up, tearing down, welcoming people, creating a hospital. Hospitable? Hospital, hospitable environment. That's awesome. Praise the Lord, so faithful. Keep it up. All right, the Lord is watching. He'll reward you for it in due time. It honors him. Notice the contrast to this third servant. Once again, by way of reminder, my third point this morning is this. We all have an account to give, and I'm telling you, it bears eternal consequence. Notice here, verse 24. He also had received the one talent, came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. Verse 25, so I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, You have what is yours. And this is where the parable goes south. It's so sad. It's really a warning to the church. It's a warning to us. The third servant's actions result from his apparent misperception of the master. The third servant is basically saying, you're hard, and you're unforgiving, and you're unrelenting, and you're unbending, and you're unmerciful, and you're ungracious, and you're unkind, and you lack compassion. You're too tough. What is he saying? Where does he get this? I don't even know where he gets this. It's like he doesn't even know his master. He's making it up. It's obvious that there's no submission in his heart. He doesn't serve the Lord. He's blind to his master's kindness. He's blind to his master's grace. He's blind to his incredible opportunity. And so what does he do? Answer, he does nothing. He does nothing. Does nothing. You know, today people give a lot of reasons for not stewarding faithfully. Maybe you've heard some of these. Excuses. Everybody's got an excuse of why they can't be faithful. Here's a common one. I'm so, you ever heard this one before? I'm so busy. And so I'm just so busy. I mean, I can't really chip in and help out because I'm so busy, but if I can figure out a good system and get organized, then things will change and I'll be a faithful steward. But you know what? I'm busy, and so I just can't do a lot of stuff. And the truth is, life is complicated. Maybe you've heard this before. I mean, I'm in a rough patch lately. We got kids, and so, you know, I mean, kids, and I mean, just life is I'm a student right now, and so I can't do a whole lot. And so life is complicated. I mean, I'm just busy. Life is complicated. Here's another one. I mean, if I were honest, I mean, just now isn't a good time. Just not a good time. I mean, maybe next year. I'm probably not next year either, I don't think. But maybe in a couple years it'll be a good time. But it's not a good time now, I'll tell you that. Or here's another excuse people give for not stewarding responsibly and faithfully. People say, you know what, I just didn't know. I didn't know. I didn't know that this was such a big deal to God. I didn't know that he cared. I didn't know that he was watching. I didn't know that he kept track. I just didn't realize this is such a big deal to God. And if there ever was a question, if it's a big deal or not a big deal, this should clarify it for you. Notice there, verse 26, the response of his master. But his master answered him. You guys see it there? What does he say? You wicked and slothful servant. You wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. It's interesting. The master doesn't say, oh, hey, bud, I'm sorry, you misunderstood. Doesn't say that. He doesn't say, oh, hey, I'm sorry, you were misguided. He doesn't say that either. He doesn't say, hey, sorry, buddy, you must have misheard me. He says, you're wicked and you're slothful. Hey, Jason, what's the lesson from the third servant? I'm not sure. Here it is. Our view of God will determine the choices that we make. Your view of God will determine the choices that you make. And your view of God will determine the choices that you make. And your view of God will determine the choices that you make. If we see Christ as a hard man with unfair expectations, which he's not, but if we see him that way, then it'll cause us in our current days to be filled with fear and really demonstrate unprofitable results. Only those who eagerly look forward to the return of Christ can find the freedom to live every day with joy and confidence. That's what's great about this. We can prepare for the Lord's return today. And he is coming back. And we don't know when. We just know that it could be any time. And so let's take this to heart, why don't we? Here's the question. Which of the three servants are you most like this morning? Like if now were the time and today were the day that you were given accounting to God, would you welcome it with joy? Or would you be like, no, no, I don't want that? Which of the three servants are you most like today? Notice there, verse 28, almost done, just a couple more verses. Verse 28, so take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. What happens to the unfaithful servant, Jason? Verse 30, and cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so if this ever was a question about whether this servant was a Christian or not, verse 30 ought to eliminate it, right? Jesus calls him a worthless servant and then has him tossed into the place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, which of course is a definition of hell. Hell is the place of ongoing and unrelenting pain. It's the place of torment, Scripture says. And it's the place awaiting those who have been found to be tares among the wheat. And that's the end. That's it. This parable comes to an alarming conclusion. And just being honest with you, there's a piece of me that would like to water this down. It's a hard edge. Piece of me that's tempted to sort of kind of round off that edge that's pretty sharp. It's a temptation to soften it. But the truth is I can't. Not if I want to be faithful with God's word. And so this morning, wake up! That's what it is. This is a wake-up call for the church. All of us must examine our own lives. Believers, unbelievers alike. Some of you this morning are a tare among the wheat. You look like a Christian, but you're not. Some of you look like you're a steward, but you're not. And I hope this is enough to wake you up from your spiritual sleep so that you can come into the light and one day be found faithful. And so with that, why don't we go ahead and close our Bibles there? The big idea this morning is I'm accountable for what God has given because God takes stewardship seriously. Today we've seen that each of us have been given a massive trust by God. I said at the beginning, you guys have been entrusted with so much, and so have I. So much opportunity, so much privilege, so much ability. It's really quite remarkable. Every one of us, every one of us. And the Master is coming back. Jesus will return. I pray that you'll be ready. This morning, if you're here, and if you are not a follower of Jesus Christ, let me say this. We are so glad that you are here this morning. Thank you for being here. My desire is to merely serve you well so that you can make a decision this morning on what you should do with what you've heard. And if you're not a follower of Jesus Christ this morning, here's how you take and apply what you've heard. The first step will be to simply believe what you've heard. It's not my word, it's God's. It's coming to that point where you can say, okay, I believe. And I realize I'm not perfect, and so I'm confessing that now. God, I admit the fact that I'm a sinner. I sin, I fall short. I fall short in a lot of ways. God, in a lot of ways, I haven't been a faithful steward like we've seen today. I haven't been a steward at all. And so, God, I believe in you. Jesus, I believe I believe you are all that you say that you are. And today I'm making the decision, and it's an act of my will. I'm inviting you into my life, and I'm asking you to be real to me. Lord, I confess you today. I confess you as my Lord. I confess you as my Savior. I'm turning my back on my former way of life, and now I'm walking towards you now. That's how you apply God's word today. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ the way that I've explained. And for the rest of us that are followers of Jesus this morning, it's a reminder. So many of you are faithful. Praise the Lord. That is so good. Be encouraged. Keep up the good work. For the rest of you, be reminded that we are not saved because of how we perform. But it's when we are saved that there are good works that we are to perform that really demonstrate our salvation is real. And so I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet now. The opportunity is before us today. Would you partner with us in this great work? We all have been entrusted with something. We all have a job to do. We all have an account to give that bears eternal consequence. And we all have an opportunity to steward. And so, Father in heaven, I'm asking now for each of the men and women and the students here this morning, oh God, as only you can, would you minister this truth to us? And I'm certain some of us here this morning, we need encouragement, and I pray that encouragement would be given. Some of us this morning need correction, and I pray that correction would be given. Ultimately, Holy Spirit, I'm trusting you to do the good work and the heavy lifting. Father, I ask you to meet with each of us here this morning. And God, as we seek to be doers of your word, not merely hearers of it, that we could leave and that we could do differently, we could act differently, we could glorify you, Lord, with a changed life. That's your desire. It's your glory. That's what we're after. To see more sinners saved and to see more saved people made mature in Christ. That's what it's all about. And so be glorified here, we pray in Jesus' good name. Amen.